You think church email is dead? Well, think again. In this conversation, we're going to unpack some of the things that'll get your emails opened, read, and responded to at your church. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are talking about church email marketing, and we're going to rank some of the tactics that are working, some that aren't, and give you guys some feedback. I believe that email marketing still remains one of the most valuable things that we can be doing at church to reach more people and get people connected to our churches. And so I think it should be an important conversation. And before you make any judgments about it, let me make the case as to why email marketing is still important. Because one thing that I notice is that when we do content about email marketing, we don't get as much feedback or things as we do when we do maybe content about social media marketing or the Google ad marketing, like it's a Google ad grant where you get $10,000 a month in free ads. Right. Email marketing, I don't know what it is. Like, people just kind of tune out to this idea, but I still think it's like the... Honestly, it's like A or maybe even S tier when it comes to marketing channels that churches should be using. I guess we should probably start. You agree, I assume, Ian?
I agree, Thomas, and this is why we've done a lot of content about this in several podcasts, you and I both. And, of course, we measure it. We see how effective it is for our company and churches that we work with. But, you know, I'll just say this. I think that, like you said, when people don't respond to it as much, or maybe it's could be seen as boring to them, I think it's just because it's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. We have texting now, and we have all these other methods of communication that it's easy in people's minds to kind of just shove it under the rug or it'd be in the back of their minds rather. So those are some of the reasons why, but yeah, it's still very much alive and effective and doesn't need to be abandoned for your church marketing strategy. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's it. Like you said it, right? I hardly remember a time without email. And I imagine for our people that are much younger than me, there wasn't a time where email didn't exist. So I think that I remember getting my first email address. I was probably like 11 or 12 years old when I first got it. It's something that's still there. It isn't, I'm the first to acknowledge it's not really sexy, but I'm telling you that the reason why it works is because it is something that people generally will still check multiple times every single day.
Yeah.
And it's still an acceptable way for us to get information out there to people. So the reason why people check it is because important things come via email. You know, whether it be password resets or just today I got my lab test results from my doctor's visit I did a couple of days ago, and my doctor sent me a message on there. Things that I have to see. Yeah. And so when our messaging as church marketers in this case here is on those same channels as people's medical records and those things, it's a place where people are looking, and you will get in front of them. So don't underrate it. I think it's a great mass communication tool. It remains the best one.
Yeah.
I think it has this advantage over text messaging because it still feels less invasive. So if I can only send so many mass texts to my entire church, right? If I'm doing three of those in a week or something, like, people start to tune us out and are much more likely to unsubscribe and say stop on their text message there. Whereas I can send two or maybe three emails a week, especially when someone's newer to our church and maybe just getting plugged in, I can even have daily communication with them, and it doesn't feel obtrusive or invasive in that way. So, and it is something valuable. I want to get into the ranking. So what we did is we outlined, I think, 11 different kind of email marketing tactics. And you and I can kind of go through, and I guess I'll give my feedback on what's working, what isn't. And we have a rating system on this today, Ian?
We do, and important to know these terms. We always chuckle, and hopefully our listeners chuckle at some of these, but these I think are okay today. So divine, that would mean these tactics are a must-have. They just work, and every church should be doing them. And then we have decent, they can be done well in the right context, not for everyone, but worth a try. Then we have dusty. That's the bad one here today, meaning it's out of date, won't produce results, use it with caution or not at all. Yep. Yep. So those are the ones we'll be going. And to kick it off, Thomas, first one, one that everyone's familiar with, weekly newsletters.
Weekly email newsletters. Okay. So here, I want to make sure we're talking about the same thing, because I think this can be done well and should be done well. And I think if it's done well, it can rank very high. If it's done poorly, then I think it's probably dusty on this. So let me tell you what a poor weekly email is if it's just things taken from your church event page, and it's a list of all your events, and you copy and paste the upcoming event list onto a weekly email and just call it your what's happening around First Baptist this week email. That is dusty, because people, after the first time or two that it's sent, people will just kind of learn this practice of ignoring it and make it feel like it's not something that's worth their time to take a look at. Now, compare that with what we would recommend for a weekly newsletter. I think it has to be something that's custom written every single time, with some kind of a specific story-driven lesson that's being taught in it, and a very specific call to action, that you have you have one thing that you're asking people to do. A lot of times it'll be tied in with whatever the theme of the sermon was that week. You'll kind of do a reinforcement message in there. It has to be well written. And then you have to ask people to do something with that information. What was the call to action in the sermon? Is there maybe a companion call to action that can go along with that? So when it's done well, I think every church should be doing this, but you have to do it right. So I think for a good weekly email newsletter, I'm going to call it Divine. For a mail it in, put your church events out there, the kind that we're all kind of think of, I think, when you think of that boring church newsletter, obviously dusty. So it depends on the type, but let's call it, in general, if you do it right, I'm going to say it's a divine opportunity.
Yeah, I like that you said storytelling within a newsletter, because I think a lot of people don't think about that. They think about it on, social media, for example. But obviously for something standard once a week that can have the tendency to get boring very fast, like you said, having good storytelling in there, creative, engaging content. So that's, I think that's what really makes it, for sure. Next one is personalized welcome emails.
Okay, so a personalized welcome email. So this would be, I think what we're saying here is a first-time visitor, emails that are personalized to them,
for them
that
yeah.
invite them into next steps at the church there. Love it. I love this. I think this is so important. I think every church has to have a well-thought-out and personalized sequence. I think those are two things that are like important, like that I want to hit on this. So yes, you need to have a sequence. You need to have something that gives a first-time visitor next steps. And then the more you can personalize it, the more powerful of a tool that it is. So if it just says, hey, visitor, if that's what the email says, it was so good that you came to service this week. Yeah. Please click here for more information about our church. Well, that's dusty. Like, don't do anything like that. It has to be personalized. And so what I always tried to do was one of two things. So this is from my experience pastoring churches from 150 to 350 in attendance, right? So if you're a mega church, you probably can't do this.
Right.
But as a pastor, I try to personalize it. I'd say most of the people that were there for the first time, I found a way to introduce myself and meet them, but sometimes I didn't. So usually if they came for the first time and I met them, I'd say something to the effect of, hey, John, you have to have their first name in there.
Of course.
It was so good to meet you on Sunday. I loved getting to, meet you and Melissa and the kids. I'd like to make sure we get some more time to connect this Sunday when you come back, and just kind of invite them back into service again.
Yeah.
If I didn't meet them, it'd be something more to the effect of, hey, John, I still have their information because we've taken that from them.
Right. Got it.
Hey, I'm so sorry that I was tied up all Sunday and I didn't get a chance to greet you personally there at church. I really want to make sure that happens. If you're around again this Sunday, please make a point, seek me out. I'd like to meet you and the family. Looking forward to it. Something to that effect. So personalization, it's so important. I think if you're a church under 100, you should be able to meet everybody
and
make sure you really nail that. I know it can be hard. We got a lot of things going on Sundays, yeah. But yeah, I love this.
But I would say that's an advantage of a smaller church, right?
Totally.
They could be more personal, and it's good that we give the two examples there. You got to look at it based on church size and what you keep up with there. So
definitely divine, though. That's divine. Another divine.
All right.
Two for two
on divine. So next one is automated event reminders.
Automated event reminders. Okay. I think of this differently. Yeah, it does sound boring. So it sounds dusty. Mm-hmm. So I don't think of this I hadn't really thought about this one, about email marketing when it comes to automated event reminders. But I do think that they are valuable to people. I know that, we use them extensively for appointments and those kinds of things here at Reach Right.
Yes.
That people get them, and we know that they're valuable to them, and we know that people are more likely to attend meetings or events if they get reminded about them. So I think that this is one of those places where text messages are better than emails, because as an event reminder, it can just, those are so quick to just be scanned through and ignored. And I think a text message is, hey, looking forward to seeing you, at this time in the future. That'll be even more powerful. So for this one, I'm going to say kind of the middle of the road. I think you should do them if it's an option for you. I wouldn't just decline doing them. But so I guess we'll call those decent, kind of a middle of the road thing.
Yep. Agreed. Agreed on that. So next one, segmenting your audience. I think you're going to like this one. I could be wrong.
Okay. So let me talk about what segmentation means and what the value of this is here for a second. So when we talk about segmenting an email list, it's basically putting it into different groupings based on some criteria.
Yeah.
In a business, we have different segments for different products that people might have been interested here at Reach Right. At a church, you would segment, typically, the most common thing would be based on life phase.
Yeah,
stage
phase.
Parents of kids that are in your children's ministry would be one segment. Parents of kids that are in your youth ministry would be another.
Right.
And then your maybe your senior citizens would be another segment.
Right.
Or married couples might be a segment. So
singles,
you have these different segments, and you could send different emails to different groups of people. Knowing that your seniors probably wouldn't be as interested, if they don't have kids in the youth ministry, in getting those, hey, here's the updates about camp this year, or those kinds of things. So I think it's an important practice. Now, I understand the reality, again, of churches that I've pastored, 150 to 350 in attendance. That's a tough ask to have multiple different emails every week, for instance, that go out to different groups. And so while it's a definite nice to have, I don't know if the juice is always worth the squeeze. Because I don't see most of us sending out five different emails to five different groups every single week in our weekly newsletter.
Right.
So, should you get event reminders only about events that you might be interested in? Absolutely. So there is some value to segmentation. But I think when it comes to just the general appeal, I think most churches our size are going to be generalists in that way.
Yeah.
And so you're going to probably just do one. So for that reason, I'm going to say if you could pull it off, It is absolutely divine, but it's I think for most of us, it's going to be kind of a decent thing you can try.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, and not much to add on that one. But basically, this next one we've thought of for years here now, and strong subject lines.
Oh, what am I going to say, right? I mean, strong subject lines. All right, so this is a great use case for using AI software, I feel like. This is one of the best things that it can possibly do. Here's why strong subject lines are important. It's the only determining factor, really, other than the name of your church. It's the only determining factor in whether someone's going to open your email or not.
Yep.
You could write the best email in the world, and if your subject line is, church update week of June 3rd, then nobody's going to know. It could be the most powerful thing that you ever do, but you need to have a subject line that is engaging, that grabs people's attention. We've done a lot of testing on this kind of thing. And really, if you think about it, a good subject line that we see, it could probably on average, our range, just to give you an idea here at Reach Right, our open rates from bad subject line to good subject line, our worst, and we do pretty good ones, even our worst ones, but our best ones, they are up over a 50% open rate, and our bad ones are probably down at like a 30% open rate, I'd say, for a bad subject line. Now, if you just have terrible subject lines, like I said, just, you know, having dates and stuff in them, then it's going to be much lower than that a lot of times. So all that being said, like, this is probably the one of the most important things you can do. I would spend time on it. I would use AI to craft subject lines. So, and here's how I would do it. I would take your email that you're already going to send to your church. So maybe you have a, it's your weekly newsletter, let's say, and you're putting in a story-driven account from your pastor with one key call to action. I would take all of that content, I would paste it into Claude or ChatGPT or whatever you use, take the content and paste it in, and then give it this context. I'd say, you are an expert email subject line writer, and your emails have the highest open rates in the world. What, give me five ideas for subject lines for this week's church newsletter with this content. And then let it run, let it cook, do its thing. And chances are you're going to get something, if not ready to go right then, you'll get something that you can make a few little tweaks to for accuracy's sake, and you'll be ready to go. So great use case for AI. I think this is a no-brainer. Definitely divine.
Yeah, and again, it have been so important for years. We've known for email strong subject lines make or break emails. And so that's still the case, and leveraging AI is good. It's funny, we refreshed a lot of our emails. Me, obviously, leading sales here, you know, the worst subject line is, hey, just checking back in or following up. So it's easy to easy to get generic with them. So use AI, definitely they'll get more creative than usually what we can think of off the top of our head. So next one's story-based emails.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this. Love it.
Yeah.
I think it's something that you should try to, you should never have just details in your emails there. So it's not just about, hey, just want to remind you about youth camp coming up. It's June 4th through 8th, or, you know, that's boring. Like, talk about,
have fun.
Hey, what's your, like, tell a story about someone whose life was changed at youth camp. Or talk about the time that you were at youth camp and what God did in you and what it turned, what the change that it made in your life. So tell testimonies. Yeah. These kinds of stories are what's going to actually impact people. So divine, again.
Yeah. 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 And we mentioned that with newsletters too at the beginning. So yeah, that's good. So next one is mobile optimized design.
Okay, so you might think about this as like it's a must have, it's divine, and you don't want something that will look bad on mobile devices. But I'm actually an advocate of almost no design. So a lot of people get caught up in this idea of like, I have to make a pretty looking newsletter with frames and all kinds of graphics that go across the whole phone or your computer screen. And so certainly you want something that'll look just as good, if not even better, on a mobile device than it does on a computer, because the fact is more people will see it on their phone than they will on a computer screen. So you may be designing it on a computer screen, but always check it on a phone.
Yeah.
But I want to encourage people to not do any design. So I think emails are best when they feel just like an email you would send to a friend.
Right.
And not like a promotional marketing kind of an email.
Right.
So I would actually advocate that you don't use a frame or your colors or logos at the top to kind of set it up. And I think in most cases, that's actually going to hurt you rather than help you in actually getting the meat of what you're trying to communicate across. So, so for that reason, I would say if you're talking about like a design in general, I would probably call that dusty. I would be very much against design. Yeah. So make it look good on mobile, but just make it feel like plain, like a regular email. That's my encouragement.
Yeah, and talk about dusty. I've seen, and not to pick on older traditional churches, we love them, and a lot of them are doing amazing things and getting more relevant with their marketing. But the traditional old dusty church newsletter has clip art that like the church secretary puts like flowers, a sketch of the stained glass or the cross at the top of the building, like, you know, up at the corner, and then the bottom right looks dusty. And agreed. So I still see those to this day, Thomas, but it's all right. It's making progress. So anyway, next one's integrating social media links.
Yeah. Okay. So this one I am on the fence about a little bit. So I generally am not a huge fan of it, because like it goes back to what I was saying before about having one call to action. So if links is plural and you feel like I want to put, you know, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and here's our TikTok and here's our YouTube, that's fine. Now, that being said, I do have in my email, I have in my normal signature, it says, you know, my name, my role, and then like it does have one line that says subscribe on YouTube, because I think that's our main, you know, kind of social channel that we try to build from. So all that being said, I think that's good. I think that part, but I think if your idea is, hey, let's just put all of our social media links out there, that again, it breaks our rule of one call to action and we want them to do one thing. And in most cases, like liking you on Facebook isn't the most valuable thing they can do. And it's certainly not going to a specific social media post. Like it just doesn't have the same kind of value. So for that reason, I'm going to say, generally speaking, that's dusty to me.
Right. And I agree with you. You know, I think there was a time when social media was newer that this was all the rage in your email newsletter or whatever, because you wanted to get it out there. But people just know now where they, they know if they want to follow you either on YouTube or Instagram, and they're going to know how to do it a lot more easily. So agreed, Dusty. So next one is a funny one, using emojis and GIFs.
So this one I actually really like. Now, I am not I'm not personally an emoji user in my day-to-day life. And like, if you don't catch me in the wild using emojis. Now, I have made some exceptions to like, I like the convenience of
not
like,
even
just
on
like,
texting.
I don't add in my own emojis generally.
Because you know, it's like easy now that it's been made easier on Androids and iPhones just to do an emoji to whatever someone says. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. It gives you emoji suggestions, which, so I don't know. Sometimes I'll just use those, but I've never, I don't think, like, you know what this needs? This needs like an emoji to like kind of reinforce my point on this thing here. So, so what I will do is like at a convenience, I will thumbs up something. Like I'll you know, hold it down and do the thumbs up thing, or like maybe a, you know, a laughing face or something like that, just to save time, as opposed to like writing, you know, that's really funny or something. So that just, it's a time saver for me there. Now, when it comes to email, I love emojis in subject lines and in the body of text, because I think, well, I may not use it, people tend to respond to them. And so especially in subject lines, I really like it. I also, the other part of this, we've been loving this, is using GIFs in our emails. Yeah. We've seen that really raise our engagement rate on our emails. So we actually have kind of a policy here at Reach right now where every one of our weekly emails, if you're on our list, you probably have seen this, that we're including a GIF that comes as part of it, to kind of, or GIF, whichever one you prefer. So do you say GIF?
I say GIF.
Oh, what's wrong with you? That's weird.
I don't know. I'm in Texas. Maybe that's why.
Maybe that's it. Let us know in the comments, guys. Are you GIF or GIF? Use a use a J if you're a GIF person, because that's how it sounds. So, anyway, we use GIFs in all of our emails to reinforce a point that maybe we're making in there. Just, you know, I think we had one last week where Homer Simpson like backs into some bushes, if you've seen that one before, to kind of get out of Dodge.
One out there for a while.
Yeah. There's tons, and they can be that way. Like it just kind of helps to reinforce the point, though, is the idea behind it. So love it. It'll help your emails be more engaging. Definitely divine.
All right. Next one. Long devotional emails.
Long devotional
long
emails.
Long devotional
emails. This one seems
emails.
Like it was, it's like designed for me to say I don't like it. But I love to throw people like curveballs on this stuff. Okay. So
at first glance, I was thinking Dusty, but you might have a different opinion.
Yeah. So I'm not opposed to long. It's not the long part that I don't like. I think that I could actually make a case that like if you can write really good copy, you can go long, and those are going to be some of the best emails you could possibly send. Now, a long devotional is kind of what I feel like about a long sermon, I think, where like, I mean, if you're going to do it, you better be really good at what you're doing. So I think for the average among us, like me, who are maybe not great at, you know, maybe writing a devotional that is like world-changing, and I can't put that out every single week, I would probably move against it, but it's not because I don't like long, well-written copy. Long, well-written copy, especially in easy to like read short line format, really solid. But I think you're right. Yeah. So probably just like for most of us, I'd say it's probably Dusty
for most
to do long devotional content. Right.
Yeah, it used to be more of a thing. There's other ways to do that content now. But last, but I don't know, maybe least, who knows? Email surveys.
Email surveys are cool in one regard. I think that they they actually help you with some of the metrics that email providers are looking for because they are very engaging. So if you're doing an email survey, and so by that I mean it's usually an email. Usually it's not baked into the email. Like a bad survey is, hey, reply to this email with your answer and we're going to put it in a survey. That's not what we mean. So usually an email survey is just an email that then links off to some kind of a survey form that someone can answer questions in there. There are some tools now where you can embed the survey right in the email and it'll send that information back. But what's so good about them is that they actually send data back to the email provider, like Google in this case, like if you're using Gmail, and it will tell Gmail that this kind of content, this kind of email, and the organization sending this email, a lot of people engage with this. So let's make sure this never winds up in spam. That's kind of what you want. That's the gold standard as an email marketer. So for that reason, I think email surveys can be really great. They're engaging for people. As far as the overall value, I don't think it's like an every week kind of a thing. Here's the weekly email survey. Right. But I think if you do it on occasion, quarterly maybe would be kind of my max. Yeah. I think it could be divine. But just because it's so infrequent, I'll put it in the middle category to kind of keep us middle there. So decent, I think, is what I would say for email surveys.
I'm surprised. That's why I almost said last, but maybe least, because everyone thinks about that. But you're right if it's done that way. So, well, that's it, Thomas. There were our 11. We hope that was helpful.
Yeah, mostly divines, helpful for everybody.
Mostly divines if done right, I think, was the takeaway for today.
I think that's right. So, yeah, I think this stuff is also important. We try to practice what we preach in this. So if you're not on our email newsletter, hop onto our site. We'll leave a link down below where you can jump onto our email newsletter if you want to see. We do our best. So, well, not perfect. One thing I think I can end with, too, is that just know that even the people that do email marketing for a living, like sometimes we have duds. Like sometimes it just doesn't hit the way we thought it would. Yeah. And it's a lot of trial and error, a lot of A/B testing that we're doing. And so dig in, try some of these, see if they work, and make adjustments as you go. So hope it's been helpful to you. Let us know down in the comments if it's GIF or JIF. Thanks for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.